Lord God, as we sit up under the authority of it, God, I pray that you build our faith today. Just ask God and say, Lord, build my faith today. Deliver me today. Encourage me today. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. God, that's what your word says. This is what you do. This is how you work in our life, Lord. And I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you that we can stand here openly to confess you and worship you openly, God. And we just thank you for that this day, God. Appreciate all the things that you do for us. We so appreciate you. Bless you, Father. Bless us, God, this day. Continuing with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Excuse me. We have 100 ladies on the ladies' retreat. That's amazing, eh? I've been in this church for 22 years. I believe that's the biggest women's retreat that we have had yet. And I'm just so thankful that God is doing such great things among our ladies, among our men, among this church. I thank God for you being here this morning and being here in the presence of God and really believing. How many believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Amen. I believe many of us in this room are diligently seeking the Lord today, and we have found him. Amen. We have been able to sit in his presence this morning. I pray this morning that God's word would encourage you and strengthen you. I pray that it would challenge you in many different ways. I know there's a lot of folks that have come in today, and no matter how you came in here, you will not leave the way that you came in. I believe that the word of God never returns void, and it always affects us, amen, for the good. It affects us in a good way, and I thank God for that this morning. I want to talk to you something this morning that people probably don't always talk about, but maybe at a funeral. And I want to talk about overcoming the fear of death. You might say, wow, maybe you're here for the first time if you've not set up under the preaching in this church before, and you're like, wow, what a message for the first day. Well, I can tell you, wow, what a message for us for the first day. Amen. So I thank God for his word, and I believe he's going to greatly encourage us. I believe that one of the greatest fears out of all of the fear that we wrestle in this world is the fear of dying, the fear of the unknown, the fear of death. I believe a lot of people, excuse me, walk in the world, and that's one of their greatest things is the fear of death. Science has not been able to figure out what happens after death, right? We can study everything on this side, but once a person expires, where does a person go? What is after that life? Where does that life go? And so there's many people that teach many different things. Different religions teach things where you come back an animal, or you come back somebody else, or you come back. And it's never been proven. You can't say that someone came back as a grasshopper. You can't prove it. So whether they're human once, they died, came back as a grasshopper, nobody knows, right? So it sounds funny, but there are people that believe all different things about life after death or what goes on. Do you just go 6 feet under the ground and then that's it, game over, and never start again? We have the Bible, amen? Amen? I believe that this is the word of God. It's the truth of God. I believe everything in it is true. People begin, you either believe it or you don't believe it, right? And I choose to believe this is truth, mainly because it is prophecy. Over two-thirds of this book is prophecy, and it's all come to pass. And God said, you'll know that I am the one true God, because what I say always comes to pass. Amen? But I believe that fear of death is probably the greatest fear that plagues men's hearts. Now, as born-again believers, if you're here this morning and you are a child of God, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no more need to fear death. And I believe that we understand that because the Spirit of God has taught us that. But I believe it's good to remind one another that we don't have to fear anything in this world. Because the love of God has cast out all fear. Every fear that we could possibly face. The fear of tomorrow. The fear of what's going to go on in my life. The fear of sickness. The fear of whatever. There is no need in Christ Jesus to fear anything. Because if God is for us, who can be against us, right? The Bible tells us multitudes of times throughout the Old Testament and the New, fear not, fear not, Fear not, my little children, fear not, because God is telling us in Him we don't have to fear anything. Amen? And I'm thankful for the Word of God. I did a little bit of research. A survey said this. 63 million people in the world die every year. So every 12 months that goes by, 63 million people in the world die. That is 173,000 people every day. So in a 24-hour period, 173,000 people will die. That's 7,200 people every hour. We've been in here for an hour. 7,200 people have passed away in the last hour. That's 120 people per minute. That's two people every second. Ten people just died. Ten more people just died. Y'all with me? Sobering, isn't it? Ten more people just died in the world right now. Every second, two people. Think about it. And if you sit and think about that, it's kind of a sobering question. What goes on after death? What happens to me? Maybe you're listening for the first time. Maybe you're not walking with Jesus. Maybe these things you think about when you're laying in your bed at night. I know I have many a times growing up. Young people, you lay in bed at night and think about, what am I? Who am I? What's going on? What happens when I die? And it could be a scary thought, because the thought of the unknown brings a lot of fear, right? Well, if we know what the unknown is, then therefore we have no more fear. Amen? Sometimes they say, well, we have to have proof of that. Well, we don't walk by sight, do we? We walk by faith. So this is our proof. God said, end of story, which gives us hope. Amen? In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a season for everything in life. There's not been one human up to this point that has escaped death. Everybody is going to face it. It's sometime or another. Not a message you like to hear, but hey, guys, let's confront it this morning, right? We're growing old every day. We've been to hundreds of funerals. The fact of the matter is, at one point or another, everybody in this room is going to expire. But there's good news in the expiration. And that's what I want God to show us today, because I believe He's given me this word to encourage you today. It's not a doom and gloom message. It is a message of hope and excitement and expectancy, because Jesus Christ has made a way for you not to live in fear, the fear of death, the fear of the unknown, the fear of I don't know what happens. There's good news, amen, for everyone. But the fact is, we have to face that. Here's the big question. Why do people die? I have people all the time coming to me and saying, if God was so good, why does God let good people die? I was in Ireland several years ago ministering an evangelistic crusade. And at the end, there was a woman that came up to me. She was extremely angry. She said, you're talking about this Jesus that brings life. She was very bitter. I said, why are you so angry at God? She said, my mother was a Christian. She died a year ago at the age of 41 years old. She said, there's a man in my apartment complex that molested me as a child for years after years. He's 75 years old. He's still living today. Why did God allow my mama to die and this blankety blank to live? Y'all ever been encountered by a question like that? People say, well, why does little children have to die of cancer? If God was so good, why? Why does He let bad things happen to good people? Why do good people die? Why do little babies born and only live 8 days. I have an older brother. He would be a little brother, but I'm going to see him one day. My mother's first child only lived 8 days. His name was Jeffrey Allen Lee. So I've got a birth certificate and a death certificate. Mom named me Jeffrey Lee because she felt that the time God gave me back to her. He only lived 8 days. People probably question my family, why? Why would God allow this? People have miscarriages. Why? Why would God allow this? Why? Right? That's a good question. And God answers our questions. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5 for a moment. While you're turning there, I want to read this statement. God never meant that people should die. There was no death in the Garden of Eden. There was no suffering, no pain, no tears, no crying, no wrestling with sin, no military, no policemen, nothing. Everything was absolutely perfect. Man had an absolutely perfect relationship with God. There was no fear. There was no sickness. There was no death. So God never intended death to be in the picture. He wanted man to always live and to live in that intimate fellowship that God has always wanted. That's why he created man. That's why he created you, so that you could have this intimate walk with God, because that is what God enjoys, an intimacy with his creation. Not only everything that he created in this world, from the animals to the stars and the trees and the wildlife and the oceans, but he created you very special. Can I tell you, everyone that's hearing my voice this morning, you were created very special. You're special in the eyes of God. God wants you to live. God wants to have intimacy with you. And he doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to live. And he wants you to live with an abundant life with him. Guys, that's good news. Amen? Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 6 for just a moment. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. That's everybody in the world. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we, the ones that believe in what Jesus did at the cross, we shall be saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by the life of his Son. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received forgiveness of our sin. Look at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, that was rebellion. God put man and woman in the garden, and Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They disobeyed. Therefore, he said, if you eat of this tree in this garden, you will surely die. Now, they didn't die immediately, but they began a process in their life of dying. They were spiritually dead towards God, and they were physically dying to where in which they did pass away eventually in their physical bodies. Therefore, just as one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and in that death through sin, thus spread all men. There's now sin that is spread to all men because all of us have sinned. Everybody in this room, from the time you were born to this very moment, there is absolutely the grossest sin that could come out of a human. We all have it. We were all born with that nature of sin. And I believe everybody understands that. That's the way we're born. Because that sin has passed down from Adam all the way through to us. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So the Ten Commandments came, right? Thou shalt not. Y'all know them. I'm not going to go through them. Nevertheless, Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even to those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. If by one man's offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, abounds to many. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, that's you and I and everyone that hears my voice this morning, resulting in condemnation. Sin has come. Judgment has come. Condemnation has come. And because of that, our lives every single day are dying. Sin causes death. The wages of sin causes death. So we wonder why. Why do people die? It is by one man's disobedience, many go into the wrong way, and death is the result. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. This is the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus. In verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace much more abounds. So that as sin has reigned unto death, even so the grace of God might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Guys, this is good news. Because in the offense and the disobedience of one, everybody in this room is doomed. You will face death. You will face condemnation. You will face judgment. Everyone that can hear my voice will face that in Adam. But the good news is that grace came, and the gift of grace, the gift of eternal life, and that came through God commending his perfect love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Guys, that's us. Hallelujah. That's worth shouting about. Come on now. Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you. You're ungodly. We were born in ungodliness, unrighteousness, unholy. And because of that, we are dying every day. There are cells in our body that are dying off day after day after day. Every day we wake up, we're weaker than we was yesterday. Every day that we wake up, our back is hurting more. Our legs are hurting more. Our feet are hurting more. We used to walk straight up, now I find myself slumping over. Because my body is decaying. I'm aging. I'm passing away. Because of sin is the reason this happens. Well, you said, well, the Bible says anyone that believes upon Christ Jesus shall ever live. So why do we still die? Good question, right? Why do we still die? Why do Christian people die? I thought they had eternal life. Someone may ask that question. Well, eternal life is not here. We're pilgrims passing through here. We're not home yet. And I'm going to explain that in just a moment. So the answer to why do people die, the answer is what? I didn't hear you. What's the answer? Why are we dying? I didn't hear you. Why are we dying? The wages of sin leads to what? That's exactly right. Why am I doing that? Because I want us to ever remember that. So when you see something bad happen, sin is the reason. And you may question back and say, well, why does God let a little child? Did that child do something so bad that God let him die or God killed him? God forbid. God forbid. Who are we to question God? God is the one that brings life into our lungs. God is the one that brings life into that mother's womb. God is the one that brings birth out of that mother's womb. God is the one that gives lungs to breathe. God is the one that puts blood in the body to function. God can do whatever he wants to do, right? He's the life giver. And we praise God because God is in control of our life. If you don't believe me, hold your breath. I'll give you about 3 minutes and you're going to turn blue. You can't even breathe without God. You can't even stop breathing on your own. Because you're controlled by God, right? Everything within your body, God makes you function. So it's not God's fault that man is dying. Because he said very clearly, the wages of sin leads to death. And every one of us were born from Adam. Therefore, people ask you a question, why are people dying? Sin. It's just sin in general, guys. We live in a fallen world, and we live in a fallen life. But that doesn't stop there. Do you know that people that live in the world without Jesus, that's it. It's over with, okay? There's no hope for the unbeliever. My whole life I went, there was no hope for me. My hope was, I hope my good will outweigh my bad, and maybe God will give me some favor, and I can have eternal life. But I loved my sin, but I wanted that more than I wanted God. Because when the gospel came, I didn't want God. I wanted the eternal life. Some people try to have eternal life here. I mean, we go on diets, so we work out, we put stuff on our face to knock the wrinkles down a little. We do everything we can to try to preserve what we have. But the fact of the matter is, we're still aging and we're still dying. No one's escaped it. It's accounted once for man to die. And then judgment comes. I know that sounds like a doom and gloom, but can I be honest? That's the word of God this morning. This is what God is sharing with you that are hearing my voice today. I want to encourage you in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we have a message to carry to the world. We have a hope to carry to the world. We have John 3:16 that we get to carry to the world, that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, for whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Hey, the gift of grace, the gift of salvation is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the good news in all of this. That way we don't have to fear death. We don't fear death because, you know what? I live eternally in Christ Jesus. And I want to go through that for just a moment. Listen to this. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's doing a good job of it, right? How many of you in this room fear death? How many of you hearing my voice fear death? Hey, that's normal. But I'm going to tell you what, today you don't have to live another day fearing death. Today is deliverance for you if you could just believe. God will free you from the fear of death. Amen? Jesus came to abolish death and he did it. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ comes to bring life. Not only eternally, but life abundantly, even this day that you live. Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin leads to death. But it doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no pardon, no deliverance, no forgiveness, and no liberty without the shedding of blood. But Jesus Christ offered himself one time, the spotless Lamb of God took on the penalty of this world's sin. There's always have to have a blood sacrifice. And for hundreds of years, animals were slaughtered by the multitudes every year. And the high priest would go in to the holiest of holies with that blood applied to his own life. And enough blood for the sins of the people. But never delivered one human. But God said, I'm going to send my son. And that sacrifice of my son is going to bring life to everyone. It'll bring forgiveness to you where God never remembers your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will cleanse you, he will wash you, he will make you new, and he will give you eternal life. Guys, that's either true or it's not true, and I can tell you what, I choose to believe it's true. There's no other religion on this planet that give you hope like that. And confirm it in your conscience and in your heart. because God is spirit. And when you're born of the Spirit, God bears witness with you that you are the children of God. He has become your Abba Father. He has become everything to you. And you can live comfortably knowing I don't have to fear dying. That is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? He died so that we can live. He paid the penalty. He took on the penalty. He took on the death. He took on the condemnation. And in his resurrection power, all of hell, all of death, all of sin, all the condemnation, all the wrath of God was defeated in one moment. When he hung on the cross for nearly 6 hours, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gasped his last breath. And he said, it is finished. And when he took his last breath and gave up the ghost, everything was defeated. His work on the cross was complete. He went into that grave for 3 days to prove he's dead. And after that third day, they came to that tomb and that stone was rolled away. And the words that came out of their mouth, he is not here, for he has risen. He is alive and well. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He rose again. And he lives this very day making intercession for every human that can hear my voice. Guys, hallelujah. What good news that we have. There's no greater news than that. He conquered it. Jesus conquered death. Therefore, must we need to worry about death? Because if he rose again, we rise again. Amen? Hey, that's either true or we can just shut the book and go home. Come on now. It's true. I see all the smiles on the faces because it's true. And we get to live with this joy and this hope every day. I hear young people sometimes say, well, I don't really want to die because, and maybe I'm looking at y'all, my son and I talk all the time. And young people say, and maybe us older folks say it too, I really don't want to die. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. I believe in Jesus, but I'm kind of enjoying my life here now, right? And I want to get a house, I want to get married, I want to have children. Praise God. That's wonderful things to be excited about and to want. I get it. But deep down inside, all that really matters to God is that you live a life in victory and not in fear. It's okay to want to live. God gave us the ability to want to live, right? Otherwise, we'd all be taking our lives and go home early. But he gives us the urgency and the desire to live because he gave you your life. We're made in his image. Therefore, we want to live, and we want to live life abundantly. And God has given you and I the ability to live and to live life abundantly. Look at all the blessings that we have. We get to live in the United States. What a blessing. I've got friends that don't live in such a beautiful environment. My brother's been across the world as well, and many of you have traveled around. We're very fortunate to live the way that we do. You're blessed. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your life with Jesus Christ. That's what he made you for, to enjoy it. But he does not want you to live in fear of death. Because at any given moment, we could lose our life, right? My son was shot a couple of years ago, and in one moment, his life was almost taken. That fast. A year ago, my wife stopped breathing for almost 6 minutes. As I watched her begin to turn blue, sorry for that, but that's just the fact, okay? And I'm thinking, life is short. She's about to go home, and she's not going to be with me anymore. My sister passed away in September. Many of you have had family members that pass away. Or maybe you have faced a point where you almost died. What happens in the middle of that? Are we fearful? Are we scared? Are we fear of dying? There are people being beheaded for the sake of the gospel in their own countries. People that are saying, hey, if you don't denounce your Christianity and put your faith in this other religion, we're going to behead you. Behead me, because I'll never renounce Christ. You see, that is a person that has no fear of dying. When Stephen stood on the day he was preaching, there was no fear in that man of dying. But Peter was afraid of dying. Peter was. The other disciples were afraid. They ran and scattered. When the swords came, they were afraid. And I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God rises up within us, all fear is gone. No more fear of death. No more fear. Guys, this is the way God wants you to live. Listen to these scriptures to encourage you today. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. No more. The grave's been conquered. He's alive. He's alive. I love that old hymn song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And yes, I know he holds my future. And life is just living, because our God lives. He lives. He lives. And when he, because he lives, you and I can live. I'm thankful for that this morning. Romans 14:8 says this, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, hey, we're the Lord's, right? And if you're born again here this morning, and you know by the Spirit of God has bore witness with you, listen, your feet are ordered of God. He lives, you live. To live is Christ. To die is gain. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Listen, for if we live to the Lord, we'll be able to speak like Paul. For to me to live, to die is gain. What a revelation, amen? In different parts of the Bible, in the New Testament and some in the Old, listen, it refers to this. So those people who died in Christ are asleep in Christ. The word sleep defines the Lord's perception of death. You might remember some of these scriptures when he went into the house. He said unto the people, why all the commotion, why all the wailing and crying? This child is not dead, but she sleeps. After he had said this, he went in on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up. So when you and I, in Christ Jesus, reach the point where we expire, my wife gets on to me for using that word, but it's a good one. When we reach the point of expiration, we're just sleeping. We're not dead because we're going to live eternally. But our body goes into the grave and we go to sleep. It's just like you're sleeping. When you go to sleep, you wake up and you have no clue where the night went. As soon as you close your eyes, alarm clock goes off, up we go, and we're like, man, where did the 8 hours go or 5 hours go? We were asleep, right? Hallelujah. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. He didn't decay. He just went to sleep. Amen? Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Amen? He died for us so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we may live together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4, my departure is at hand. He's about to expire. He's about to die because, you know, Jesus told the disciples, hey, Lazarus is sleeping. They're like, well, if he's sleeping, he's sick. Sleeping's good. Come on, guys, he's dead. Okay? Y'all know the scriptures. But he was really asleep. That's Jesus's perspective of death. They're just asleep. And then Paul made this statement, my departure is at hand. I'm about to depart from this world into the kingdom of God in which has been prepared for me from the foundations of the earth. He said this, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Everybody in this room, if you're in Christ Jesus, there's a course laid out for you. God knows your steps. He knows every hair on your head and knows every single day that you're going to live and what he's going to do in you and through you until you expire or fall asleep. That's good news. God knows every breath you take. And when he is ready to take you home, we are going to go home, guys. We shout, clap, praise, hallelujah. We love heaven. And then scared to die because the devil's tormenting you in that and you don't need to be afraid. I used to be afraid to die. Now I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. I don't want to die because I want to see some more people saved, and I believe God wants to use my life. But I'm ready to go home at any given time. I know the one that gave his life for me. I know that there's salvation laid up for me. I know that when I close my eyes, I'm just going to sleep. Amen? This is good news. I don't know if y'all remember my dad, George. Some of you remembered him. My dad had lung cancer. My dad gave his life to the Lord about a year and a half before he passed away or went to sleep. He gave his life to the Lord on one of our men's retreats. It was the most beautiful thing. Some of you, Mr. Fred, I think you might have been there when Dad gave his life to the Lord. But my dad wept like a baby in front of all these men, and I knew something had happened to him because my dad rarely cried, much less in the room of about 40 or 50 men. My dad's weeping and praying for God to have mercy and save him. My dad got wonderfully born again. It was very noticeable. You remember Mr. Richard? Beautiful, beautiful time. And I remember my dad was on his last few days of living, and he was having the father-son talk, the kind you see in the movies that you don't ever want to face. Well, I did, and it was rough. But one of the things he told me was, he says, Jeff, I'm not dying. I'm just changing addresses. He said, I'll see you soon. I remember your dad, Clay. I was talking to him a couple of days before he went to sleep. And he looked me in my eyes and he said, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. Guys, look, what wonderful words that we can speak to one another when we're talking to believers who are maybe not going to live a whole lot longer. My mom is battling cancer right now. And she's watching today. My mother encourages me all the time. I'm ready to go. When God's ready to take me, I'm ready to go. You might say, well, preacher, why are you so emotional? Well, nobody wants to depart from their family. When Paul was departing, those people wept like babies. They cried. Even when Lazarus died, the people were weeping. Even Jesus himself began to weep. He's a human. God gave us the feelings that we have. He gave us these tears. He gave us the emotions to love one another. Isn't that beautiful? Because God created us in his image. God cries. But my mom always tells me, I'm ready to go. When God's ready for me, I'm ready to go. And I've heard multitudes of people, even Pastor Lee stands up here, I'm ready to go. I'm tired. I'm ready to go. Hey, we're ready to go. Amen? Amen. And when God's ready to take us, we're ready to go. That's the good news. This is the way believers ought to live. I am not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of persecution. I'm not afraid of whatever may happen. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. We have nothing to lose. Amen? But I can tell you this promise is not for everybody. This promise is for believers only. It's not for everybody. But it can be. It can be for everybody. And I can tell you, it's God's will that everybody has this hope. 1 Peter 2 says, we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this land. Life is like a vapor. We're here one day, gone the next. Like the lilies of the field, they flourish. And then for too long, they wither away. That's the way life is. Here one day, gone the next. We get phone calls all the time, such and such suddenly passed away. Where are you at today? How much longer does your life have? Are you walking with Jesus? Do you have this hope? And you might say, well, I hope I have this hope. You don't have to hope that you have this hope. You can know that you have this hope. That's the good news, amen? We can know that we have this hope. The Bible says in 1 John 5, whosoever has the Son of God has life. Whosoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Here's the good news. That you, the believer, may know that you have eternal life. Come on now. God says, I'm writing this to you who believe. If you have the Son, you have life. Please hear the word of your Father this morning. If you, here's the encouragement for the believer. My sheep hear me. I hope you hear in God. I hope you're a sheep this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. If you have my Son, you have life. If you have not my Son, you have not life. These things I write so that you can hear and that you can read, so that you who hear and believe can know. That is an absolute. I know that I have eternal life. How do you know? Because the Spirit of God bears witness with me. My Father has given me ears to hear. My sheep hear me. Are you hearing him this morning? Are you one of his sheep this morning? I pray to God you do, because if you don't, you'll leave out of here the way that you came in. No hope. No hope. You don't have to leave that way. You don't have to leave that way. Listen to this. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 8. You can turn there or you can write it down and read it later. John wrote, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride ordained for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear. He will wipe away every stain that goes through the eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. It'll all go away, for all the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. Believer, do you hear me this morning? These words are trustworthy and true. Do you hear me this morning, believer? These words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, hear me this morning, people, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. It will not cost you anything. You cannot pay for this water without payment. You know how we receive? By faith. You know who gives it to us? God does. His wonderful grace. The one who conquers will have this inheritance. Guys, this is a truth, and it is trustworthy, and it can be worthy and true. Listen, I will give him the heritage. I will be his God. He will be my sons and daughters. Believer, this is trustworthy and true. But listen to verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderer, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their portion in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, a lot of times we don't like to hear those portions of the Bible, but can I just tell you, that verse comes right after those beautiful verses. Because there's hope for the believer, but there's no hope for the unbeliever. Are you hearing me this morning? But it doesn't have to stay that way. If you're an unbeliever, you don't have to stay that way. This trustworthy truth can be yours today. This hope can be yours today. Life abundantly and life eternally can be yours today. Today is the day of salvation for you. If you could only believe in the one who gives it freely. It's a gift. It's called the gift of God. It's called the gift of grace. You don't earn it. You don't earn this salvation. You don't earn this living water. There's no payment. Jesus was the payment. It was the blood of Jesus that paid it in full. He said it was finished. It was done. Finished. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Guys, this is the greatest news. We ought to be cutting flips in here. I can tell you what. Look, in the middle of the night tonight, you're going to be shouting and singing and praising God. We're almost home. We're almost home. What good news that we have from the Lord. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, if you're born again here this morning, brothers and sisters, listen to the word of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's that word again. But we shall be changed in one moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed in one moment. We're talking about the rapture. We're talking about Jesus coming back for his church. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on the immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. That's why people are dying, because of sin. And the power of sin is the law. The law is what exposes the sin and brings us to a place of repentance. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? This is the victory. It's in him. It's in him. Therefore, beloved brothers, be steadfast. Hear the Lord this morning. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Amen. John said, though he die, he shall ever live. If you die in Christ Jesus, you shall ever live. How many of you believe that this morning? Don't forget it. Encourage yourself in that every day when you wake up. He who has the Son has life, but he who hath not the Son hath not life. I want to challenge everyone that hears my voice this morning. Please don't harden your heart towards the Lord. If you hear his voice today, act upon what God is telling you. If you are unsure about your life in Jesus Christ and you live every day of your life in fear of dying, God wants to deliver you from that today. Our sin is the reason that we're dying, and our sin is the reason that we fear death. We are literally afraid of facing God because every man in their conscience knows they're going to face God one day. Even the people that say they don't believe in God, they fear. God says man is without excuse. It's in the conscience of man. That's why he ran and hid from God. Where are you, Adam? Who told you this? I'm afraid. And guys, the fact of the matter is, we're all humans and we're afraid. But the good news is, God does not want you to live in fear. That is the way the devil is destroying your life. He's robbing you from the abundant life that God has given through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the greatest news that you can hear. So I want to challenge you today, if you do not know Christ. And look, the people that you know, you think you know God, but you don't, and you don't surrender your life to Christ, you're putting your hands, your eternity in the hands of someone else. Well, I'm embarrassed. I thought I was saved. Maybe I'm not. I don't want to say I'm saved now because I thought these people thought I was. Does that really matter? Come on. Does that really matter? My God, the Lord's talking to your heart this morning. You need to respond to God. You need to respond to him and live in the victory that God has made through his beloved Son. We don't have to fear dying. Listen, I'm going to read verse 8 again in Revelation. These are scriptures you don't want to hear, but God wants you to hear them today because your salvation is at stake. Your life is at stake. Your life may expire this week. I hope it don't, but nobody knows what tomorrow brings. My son's life could have ended in one moment. Boom, over with. One moment. Caleb Scher's daughter got into a massive accident. In one moment, she could have been gone. My grandfather had a massive heart attack. Went to the doctor, had an EKG done. Came home, EKG read good. He came home, ah! My grandma went back there. He was expired. Done. I don't know my grandpa's heart, but he wasn't walking with God. And I still weep to this day. I pray somehow that God had mercy on him somewhere. I can't judge men's hearts. You can only look at the life. You never know the next second. The cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers. If you murder in your heart, if you hate people in your heart, the Bible says we're a murderer. The sexually immoral, witchcraft, sorcerers, idolatry, liars, thieves, fornication, drunkenness, everything that goes in with that life. There's a second death coming. But Jesus has beat that second death. It'll be proven down the road soon. But the devil and all of his angels and all the unbelievers, there's a lake of fire, which is the second death. Everyone will go there, and it is not God's will that anyone perish. It is God's will that all men come to repentance. All men would come and enjoy this life. This is not a message of doom. This is a message of hope. I'm bringing you hope today. You can walk out of this room with full life. I came into this church 22 years ago, a dead man, dying in my sin. And the Spirit of God resurrected me. I walked out of the church a brand new man. And I'm still here today to tell you about it. God loves me. God loves you. God gave his son for you. He wants you to live today. Respond to his voice. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards every one of us, not willing that any of us perish. John 5 says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice and come out of the tombs. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, that's the ones that are born again and the grace of God is controlling their life and they do good. But to those who have done evil, this is the life of Adam, to the resurrection of judgment. There's eternal life for everyone. You're either going to have eternal life with Christ, new heaven, new Jerusalem, streets of gold, gates of pearl, no more sin, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. My God, who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Or the other life that you live is a life of disobedience, unrighteousness, unholiness, unbelieving. It's our sin, guys. It's the nature of Adam. And we're all in that life. But we're trying to escape it. I'm telling you this morning, the way to escape, it's faith in Jesus. It's putting your faith in the one who delivered from death and hell and the grave and sin. It's the man Jesus Christ. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you say to me this morning, preacher, how do I get there? On the day of Pentecost, the men cried out, what must I do to be saved? What do I need to do to get right with God? I hear you this morning. I'm hearing your voice. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Call on the name of the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Turn to God in repentance. That word repent means to turn. It's not you trying to stop your sinning because you'll never do it. People say all the time, stop sinning, read your Bible, go to church. That all sounds great, but I'm going to tell you what, you can't stop your sinning. You give your life to Jesus and the Holy Ghost comes to live in you. You'll read your Bible, you'll want to go to church. You'll want to be with the family of God. Why? Because the grace of God takes over a man. We become his workmanship and we're a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. Why? Because it's the work of God to a man that don't deserve it. We deserve nothing but death. We deserve hell. We deserve to perish. But God wants you to live. That's the good news of the gospel. This is what we get to share to the world. I hope you hear his voice this morning. Listen to this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall be not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. We're in this old life. We're ready to get this new life that's coming. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that has wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of his spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, church. We're therefore always confident, knowing this, that while we are at home in the body right now, I'm not in the presence of God physically. We're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't see God, but I know one day I'm going to be there with him because I'm believing. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, we labor that whether we're present or we're absent, we may be accepted of him. And I can tell you, it's only through the blood of Jesus. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer, when you expire out of this old tabernacle, and you go to sleep, Jesus Christ is going to come back and rapture his church. The dead in Christ, the ones that are sleeping in Christ, are going to rise. Those who are alive and remain will be caught up together. We will all go to the judgment seat of Christ. You will not be judged for your sin. Jesus paid it in full at the cross. Amen. And it is resurrection power. No more judgment. But this judgment seat of Christ is judging your life as a believer. What you did or didn't do in this life. There will be rewards that are given out, okay? For everything that was done in him or not in him, you will be judged by those things. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're judged according to the things that God was able to do through you. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we go out, church, and we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Amen. Church, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. 63 million people are dying every year in this world. I don't know how many in the country or even in the city that we live in, but I know this. Every 2 seconds, somebody dies. Unbeliever, we don't know what the next day brings. Believer, we don't know what the next day brings. But I can tell you what, we don't have to live in fear. Amen? I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to think about your life this morning. Please hear me. God has brought a message to you this morning. Believer, we get to live an exciting life knowing that one day soon we're going to see Jesus face to face and we're going to be like him. But until that day, we go into the harvest fields and we get to share this wonderful gospel, this hope that we have. It excites me so much, it makes me emotional. I'm so honored to have life today. I'm so honored that God would take such a messed up, wretched man and take him and make something out of his life. You don't have to leave the way that you came in. God wants to save you today. You might say, well, I believe in God. I've prayed a few prayers before and asked him to come into my heart. You know, the devil believes in Jesus. But there's a saving faith that God wants you to have this day. It's with the mouth one confesses, but it's the heart that believes in the salvation. God's listening to your heart. Do you really want to turn your life to God, or are you just trying to get a ticket to get into heaven? See, a lot of times when we come to God, we're like, oh Lord, save me. But basically, I just want him to save me so I can have a better life. Have more money, have a better home, have a better this, have a better that. We just come to God because, Lord, I want to use you. And then when I get to the expiration day, I want a free ticket to heaven. But I love my sin. I want to stay with my sin. But I want you to do all these things for me. God knows our heart, guys. He's not fooled by Jeff Lee's heart at all. And he's not fooled by your heart at all. But today, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you. These altars are open. If you want to come down here and pray, you lift your hands and pray at your seat. But I want to invite everyone to come into this altar. You say, today I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to walk out here a new creature. I want to be set free. I want to live my life without living in fear. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to give you the opportunity to come talk with me. Maybe you're embarrassed, don't want to come down here. I can tell you what, God's not embarrassed for you. And he should be embarrassed with us. But he just knows what manner of people that we are. God loves you. Church, we ought to come to these altars and begin to thank God for for everything that he has given us in Christ Jesus.